Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Aircoy Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Time now for the Sunday Morning Hangover with Nick Curran and Phil Baker on your number one spot for sports in Louisville, ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Do a great job with their updates and everything going on around horse racing, especially here in the state of Kentucky. So make sure you are tuned in for them over at Kentucky HBPA. Zach, where are you? Come on, buddy. There we go. Thank you, sir. There we go. All right. Brad Cox, there you go. Go find him at Brad Cox Racing on Twitter as well for everything happening with them.
Oh, you're killing me. I step away to go do your interview, and man.
Good morning. Welcome in. It is the Sunday Morning Hangover here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Thanks for being with us. We're making it work again this week. I'm here in the Omaha area, not actually Omaha, but near Omaha in Papillion, Nebraska. I'm Nick Curran, Phil Baker, back in the beautiful Liquor Barn Studios.
Yes. No, actually, we're all going to be remote today. So a little behind the curtains. You're remote. I'm remote. James Black is remote producing today's effort. So it's going to be a little bit crazy of a show. Look, it's the summer months. You're traveling. I got birthday party, kiddos' birthday responsibilities and stuff like that to do. So we're making it work, but that's what we do. But by the way, you buried the lead. So you're in Nebraska? How close is it? Okay, so that's with the College World Series, just a stone's throw away. But what city are you in? You said you're not in Omaha.
It's in Omaha, a rural suburb, I would say. We're in Papillion, Nebraska, a little bit outside of Omaha. That's where the Omaha Storm Chasers are located. Bats and the Storm Chasers wrapping up a series today at 6:05 Eastern. The first half of the season will be complete after today. But, it's a good 25 minutes from downtown Omaha. So a little bit of a haul. Did have a chance earlier in the week to drive past Charles Schwab Field and all the College World Series festivities, but did not have a chance to make it out to any of the games, which would have been cool. But Kentucky played a 10 a.m. game local time against Florida, their elimination game on Wednesday morning. Would have been a good time to get out, but I had some travel issues getting here, and was sleeping in at 10 a.m. on Wednesday. Let's
do it. I mean, this is you're the traveling secretary for the Bats, essentially. So yeah, this is your time to unleash.
The traveling secretary. The Storm Chasers opted to play a 12:05 Central Time game, 1:05 Eastern on our first day in here on Tuesday, which is an absurdly bad idea. And meanwhile, we're playing at 6:05 Eastern time, our last day in, which is also absurd, completely backwards of how those should be. But because of that, the team took two sleeper buses to Omaha on Sunday after our game. We had to bus. Normally we bus on Monday, but we had to bus Sunday because the game is at noon on Tuesday. So there's not a lot of, you know, options. You want to get there and have time to get settled in. So the team bussed overnight. We always have to fly a few people whenever we take the sleeper buses because we have a large traveling party and not everyone would have the room to sleep on the buses. So I decided to fly this one because Sunday was Father's Day and I wanted to be able to spend the evening with young Eliza and my dad and Amanda's parents as well. So, and it was also my birthday. So
yeah, it was a you day. You could do things on your terms that day. Yeah. Just come out and say like you wanted to do some you things without appeasing everyone else. That's okay to say.
So our trainer booked me a flight, Monday night at 7:47 to Omaha through Minneapolis. It's like, okay, that's perfect. I'll have the day at home Monday. Perfect. So got to the airport, got on the plane, pushed back. We sat on the runway for about 2 hours.
Oh boy.
Because there were storms in Minneapolis.
Hence the name.
Yes. We were there for a little bit. And then we started to go toward the runway and we were going to take off. And he said, never mind. They actually told us we can't. So it ended up being about 2 hours. We didn't take off till 9:40. I had a connection at 10 Central in Minneapolis to Omaha. Right before we took off, they were like, yeah, I mean, everything's been pretty delayed into and out of Minneapolis. A lot of flights have been diverted. So if you have a connection, there's a good chance it'll be delayed as well. So put the phone in airplane mode as we took off. They didn't have Wi-Fi on this particular plane. So we landed in Minneapolis at like 10:20 Central Time, pulled up everything on my phone, and it turns out the flight to Omaha took off right on time at 10 o'clock Central Time.
No.
A minute early, in fact, somehow.
Oh, Nick.
So,
for your tell-all book, connection. Man.
Missed the connection, and so then was looking at what they could rebook me on. The online options were 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. on Tuesday. Our game is at noon, so 3 and 7 would not work. I called Delta customer service. They have phones set up in there. The line was forever, but I was able to use one of the phones, and the lady on the other end said, I said, well, 3 and 7 don't work. Is there anything else? And she said, well, I can get you on an 8:50 a.m. flight. That would land you at 10:15. Well, you land, got to get my bag. That's at least 10:45. Then I got to get an Uber, probably a half hour to get to the ballpark. Earliest, 11:25. I'm supposed to be on the air at 11:35, and I've got to set up all the equipment. So that's not really going to work. So I said, I'm going to rent a car. So cancel me off that part. And she said, all right. So I said, hey, how do I get my bag? And she said, oh, you have to talk to somebody there.
Perfect. Oh, God.
So I walked to baggage claim, went to the Delta baggage desk and said, hey, getting off the flight, need my bag. All right. It'll be about 40, 45 minutes probably. Super. I'm going to go try to get a rental car and then I'll be back. All right. So I went to the rental car place. Nobody had a car. Everybody was renting cars there in Minneapolis. Nobody had a car. It is, you know, it's going on 11 p.m. Central at this time, mind you. So no one has a car, including National. I walked out in the National thing and said, hey, and they said no. But then I got desperate enough at about 11:30 Central, 12:30 Eastern, the Reds minor league travel guy called him and woke him up and said, hey, I'm really desperate here. I have no idea what I'm going to do. Do you, because I know the Reds, he's like an Emerald member with National.
Right.
Can you try it and see if that'll work? And he said, yeah, give me 1 second. And he's like, yeah, I just put in that you're going to return it on July 9th. And And magically, they then had a car.
Wow. So, man, the majors, baby, the Major League Baseball, that Emerald card.
The same lady that said, no, I'm sorry, we don't have any cars. I walked back out and was like, hey, got one. And she was
this
like,
this is like the sequel to the Seinfeld episode of like the reservation. Like, this is seriously a 2024 edition of it.
So went and got the car, then had to go back to the terminal to see if my bag had come out yet. So I walked back in there. It had not, could not see it anywhere. I walked back to the desk to this guy and I was like, hey, I was here earlier, trying to get my bag. What's your name? Blah, blah, blah. And right at that moment, the carousel started up and some bags came down off of it. And he was like, well, is one of those yours? Because it shows that they just scanned it. Turned around. Yes, there's my bag. Perfect. So grabbed my bag, hit the vending machines for a Coca-Cola and a couple of other snacks. And hopped in the car, left at about 11:50, roughly a five-hour, 50-minute drive to Omaha to the hotel here, and got here at about 5:05 a.m. Saved a little time off. There was no one on the road. Had to make one gas stop. Was hoping to not have to stop, but the gas didn't quite hold out. So got in at about 5:05 Central Time a.m. here. Got to bed about 5:30. Slept until 8:30. Got up. Did the game on Tuesday. And then had to go return the rental car to the Omaha airport. So drove a half hour past the College World Series stuff. Did that. Ubered back. The worst Uber ride of my life. The guy's car had no shocks. We were bumping everywhere. I was getting massively car sick. Almost threw up. Was sweating profusely. And finally got back to the hotel at like 5 Central Time. Probably more like 5:30 or 6 Central Time on Tuesday night, took a little nap, grabbed some dinner, went to bed, and got an excellent night's sleep leading into Wednesday. And even though Kentucky played at 10 a.m. Central Time Wednesday, would have loved to have gone to that and would have tried, but I was out.
You needed a U-Day. You needed a U-Day to recover from that. And this is, boys and girls, what they say to get into sports media. Nick Curran, he pulls back the curtain to tell you it's not all being fanned with the elephant plant ears and being fed grapes on his throne. That's the perks of the traveling assistant to the traveling secretary and all the other perks that come with it.
It's wonderful. And now we're on a two-week trip. We go to Toledo from here. And I need to get home between the 2 weeks because need to watch Eliza on Monday night because Amanda's actually going out of town, which is a completely role reversal. So there's no flights for like under $1,500 that are anywhere reasonable from Omaha to Louisville. So I am renting a car after the game today and will be likely driving hopefully about halfway, stopping at a hotel, and then finishing up the drive tomorrow morning.
We, boys and girls, tweet at Nick Curran 35 just positive affirmations after the 2 week trip that he's had for that. By the way, is there any way you could do like what, and again, I know you don't want to, but like with, you know, Amanda going out of town, is there any way to do the like Kevin Harlan thing like during COVID where you could broadcast the game from home by watching it on TV? I know I know you don't want to, but I'm just saying, like, if push comes to shove to give yourself a little reprieve from everything going on, I know that's not ideal, but.
It's not really, I mean, there's a few teams that do it around the league for all their road games, but it's not really, you know, it's not like an NBA or an NFL setup. It's,
right.
It's pretty tough to know what's going on, but I was thinking of all options. I was trying to figure out what I was going to do for the game Tuesday if I couldn't get to Omaha. I wasn't sure how that was going to go, but it was a speedy drive through rural Minnesota and rural Iowa on our way to Omaha on Monday night into Tuesday morning. And luckily, shout out good friend Eric Matthews, the director of marketing at the University of Hawaii.
Shout out to Corey Matthews as well and Mr. Feeney.
No doubt. But luckily, he lives in Hawaii, and so calling him at 1 a.m. or 1:30 a.m. Central time.
It's like 6 o'clock, right? That means he's getting ready for dinner.
He was able to keep me awake for a good hour and a half talking on the phone. So that was
good. Well, I'm sorry you had that experience, but I'm glad the masses, all seven of you, were able to listen for that. He's Nick Kurt. I'm Phil Baker. It's the Sunday Morning Hangover here on ESPN 680, 105.7, the ESPN Louisville app. Appreciate you making us a part of your Sunday morning. 437-9680 is the UPS Jobs text on. Tons of things to get into. We'll talk about some of the things. Josh Hurd spoke with our buddies over at WDRB, Eric Crawford, Tyler Griever. Just some of the things around the fiscal components that they've been facing. We'll dive into that. Jeff Brohm and company are getting some high praise from some folks at ESPN. We'll maybe play some of that sound coming up in hour number two. David Teal of Richmond Times, he was on with Ethan Moore and Taylor Lynch on LSL breaking down. We talked about it a little bit last week, I want to say, around the naming rights, what the ACC can do to kind of make up some of its revenue gap that I think is impending, which kind of ties straight into what Eric Crawford and Tyler Griever talked to Josh Hurd about. We got the NBA draft coming up next week. Reed Shepard sound. Where's Robert Dillingham going to go? Mark Pope was on John Wall's podcast, had some interesting things to say about that. And John Calipari making the rounds as well, which has an interesting timeline. So we'll play some of that coming up in hour number two. So, Nick, is there anything? I know you've had quite a week. By the way, I'm seeing Conor McGregor's toe, his pinky toe, for why he canceled the UFC 303. And I've never had more sympathy and or empathy, because I told you I broke my toe this time last year, and it was the most painful thing I've ever endured. Like, I'm still wearing tennis shoes from that. Like, not that I wear dress shoes all the time, but I still have to wear like tennis shoes because of the pain that I have in my pinky toe. And this is coming out of year. So I have to talk to our folks over at Baptist Health and the injury report that we do. But is there anything else I can do to help with that? But I know we're not the UFC show, but I'm just seeing the pictures of his pinky toe that you wouldn't think would be a painful thing. But I'm here to tell you, as somebody, nothing cool about it. I just hit it on the base of our bed. I wish I had a cool story about it where I was like kicking somebody in Hikes Point Lounge or something, but no, it was just me, the base of the bed. So that's where we are right now. But anything that you've kind of monitored? I know Pat Kelsey in Louisville announcing on Friday that they're going to the Bahamas. He let that slip with Bobby V earlier this week. So is there anything that you've kind of got your eyes glued to all the way out in beautiful Nebraska?
No. I think all this, which we're going to get into, and I'll probably have to dip out of here in the second hour to go pick up the rental car that I'll be driving to home. But I think that the board meeting and the budget and all that stuff is very dry and very mostly uninteresting. But this year, I think it's very interesting because of all the factors that have to be accounted for, and some of the things unique to Louisville, some of the things that are not, some of the things that are going to be across all athletics now, and trying to find a way to pay for the settlement and now being able to pay athletes. Not that you have to in some sort of revenue sharing format, but to be competitive, you're going to have to, because Ohio State's already said they're fully going to be able to do it, and whatever the case may be. So I don't know. I find all that stuff really, really interesting, and looking some of the uniquely Louisville stuff, of course, some of the buyouts they're still paying, but also, some of the revenue shortfalls in tickets and the fact, or what have been shortfalls in the past few years, potentially, and how those are now, they're at least expecting better numbers in those areas going forward. And I think that's a big deal. Season ticket sales, better for football, better for men's basketball, and that sort of stuff all of a sudden becomes really, really important when you're thinking of all this new stuff in the college landscape that you have to find a way to pay for.
Yeah, let me dive into some of the deep dive, and we'll play some of the Josh Hurts out when he caught up with Tyler Griever and Eric Crawford. But some of the tweets, be sure to give Eric Crawford a follow on Twitter/X. This is something that's fascinated me because he says the Louisville Athletics Association meeting thread. Football tickets generated $26.2 million. Men's basketball ticket sales came up $1.9 million short of budget. ACC legal costs have cut into money provided. The ACC network studio on campus exceeded revenue projections by $400K. The university provided a contribution of $5 million to offset significant one-time costs, $1.5 million over budget in travel costs. I got a feeling you're going to have a lot of thoughts on one that's coming up here in a second. Assistant coach and support staff buyouts of $400K. That's for the Kenny Payne, Josh Jamison, Nolan Smiths of the world. I'm sorry, Kenny Payne had a buyout cash expense of $3.4 million. Unbudgeted expenses, okay? Stick with me. Final John Schneider Papa John's payment. So this is when you and I were battling young Zach Cantrell. Zachy C back in December was like, are they going to fire Kenny Payne? Are they not? And one of the things that we were adamant about was I was hearing for some people that the finances, there wasn't as much money as that was an empty piggy bank. And it was easy for Zachy C. And I'm not saying this to keep dunking on the guy, but just say, oh, if you're a big boy program, act like a big boy and do it. It's like, well, you've seen where that's gotten you with the previous and, things with the letting go of coaches.
That's right. And one other part about that, too, you know, in hindsight, and this may be true, this may not be true, but I think it's at least possible that, you know, people, Josh Hurd and others in athletic administration at Louisville and across the country maybe had a decent handle on where things were going in terms of revenue sharing going forward and things like that, like that there was going to be more of a potential money outlay for them going forward. And so that was all something I think that probably had to factor into it. You know, this just goes to show, like we were talking about then, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. There's, you know, it's not, as you say, fun coupons. You have to plan things in a fiscally responsible way, or you can really get yourself in a mess.
Continuing this, Pat Kelsey's Charleston buyout of $1.1 million. ACC championship game cost the university $400K. You'll hear from some sound coming up here in a bit from Josh Hurd. Where basically maybe some of the athletic department may need to look in the mirror with some expenses and things like that of how we can be a little bit better at that. This one's going to warm your heart and my buddies that are accountants' hearts. Credit card fees of $540,000 over budget. How does that happen? Mark Blankenbaker was like going through his point systems and everything. And I'm like, Mark, you need to manage the books.
No, see, I'm not so sure. It depends on what that means, because my take on that when I read it was that. So as someone that handles the travel and the payment for travel for the Bats, like if I pay for a bus, most of the bus companies, if I pay with a credit card, I get charged a 3% fee. So
that makes sense. I take that makes sense from the standpoint of I pay the convenience fee for my LG&E bill.
Right.
If I do it by credit card or send check, which I think is asinine, there's like a 2% or $250 surcharge.
If we pay by check or like an ACH payment, there won't be a fee. But if we pay with a credit card, there is. I'm wondering if those sorts of things are.
And we're talking much more money too involved.
Yeah. I mean, their stuff's going to be.
That makes sense.
And it's an entire athletic department, not just one team. And it's, you know, I'm wondering if it's that sort of stuff. And you could haggle over whether they should figure out a way to not pay with a card, whatever the case may be. I don't know. There's probably a lot of situations where that's not super practical. Because there's so many people going so many different directions to pay for so many different things when you're talking about a big time Power 5 Division 1 collegiate athletic department. But when I read it, that's what I thought of. I didn't assume it was like, oh, they're incurring fees because they're not making the monthly payment that they're supposed to. I read it as, oh, there's a 3% fee for running this charge on the card, and that's
that's a different lens. That's a different lens that I didn't look through. So I could get with that. Upcoming revenue goals. This is where it gets interesting, and I think this is why you had to do something with the Scott Satterfield experiment and get the excitement with Jeff Brohm. Oscar Brohm actually called in to Double D on Thursday to talk about a Flage reunion, but also some of the things and kind of tip of the cap. Probably a little bit too much for what Jeff would like, but I think just some of the expectations at the quarterback positions, just how it's a feel-good family moment and everything for them to return. But upcoming revenue goals, sell 40,000 season tickets. That's a 10% increase. This is sad. Sell 12,000 men's basketball season tickets, which is a 30% increase. That is crazy to me. Crazy to me from the lens of, like, I'm looking at it through when my childhood and Freedom Hall. Not crazy through the lens of, oh, it was so bad in the recent years to where, but it's just crazy. The 30% increase to get the 12,000 is wild.
And like the season ticket base, I think, was already declining before things, you know, completely fell off the rails. Because that's just, as we've talked about a ton, has become the nature of sporting events. So, you add those two things together and, But I definitely think the way it's going and the way there's enthusiasm, 12,000 season tickets, which is a 30% increase, which is not nothing, is a very attainable goal.
Definitely. Sell out one home football game. I think that's an obtainable goal. One men's basketball home game at 90% capacity. Tennessee is what they have in parentheses.
And that was the one that was crazy to me. One men's basketball game at 90% capacity because of what you said earlier, going back to our youth. And the way it was back then, every game was minimum 90% capacity. If it was 90%, you were like, where is everybody? And now trying to get one game at 90% capacity, that was something that really stood out to me and kind of smacked me in the face of, wow, things are a little different.
Yeah, department will use $1.7 million in reserve funds to meet budget, and university will provide $3 million in support. A lot of people got upset about that last one, and it was pointed out to somebody at the Eric Crawford Twitter thread is that there's been a lot of times where the athletic department has given back to the university. So I think that it should be pointed out as thinking, like, oh, the university, their leg is they need to focus on education. Well, I don't see people shouting from the mountaintops when athletics was giving stuff from to the university. So it's a two-way street on that. With everything that's transpired with the basketball thing, I think, look, it's, as Bobby V says, it's the front lawn, it's the front porch of your university is athletics. So I think that's going to happen, you know, once a decade or something as you try to get more and more exposure. You saw what happened after the 2013 national championship. You saw what happened after Lamar Jackson and the excitement around there. It's a jolt, which ultimately leads to more admissions and applications for students to come here. And that's the goal of this.
Yeah, I think Bobby V hits the nail on the head there. That's the important thing to remember for people that are upset about the university making a subsidy payment. Like, number one, I think that happens a lot more in other athletic departments across the country than maybe it has traditionally at Louisville. And number two, it is important, and I know there is the focus on academics crowd or whatever, and I get it, but in terms of marketing and not only free marketing, but marketing that you get paid for now because of these conferences getting massive television distributions. It really is incredible publicity for the university in general. And it's money essentially that you get paid for them to market you. So it's kind of nuts, but I think a very worthwhile expenditure for universities because the exposure you get through athletics, I think it's pretty unmatched in terms of a mass audience.
We went through the Twitter thread with Eric Crawford, but let's hear it first from Josh Hurd. Eric Crawford, Tyler Griever. I guess this was Grawmeyer Hall, I want to say. I think it was in front of the Thinker or outside the Thinker. I'm not 100% sure. But here's what Josh Hurd, Louisville Athletic Director, had to say about the changing landscape of college athletics and what he's looking to do, as well as his athletic department looking to do in order to make fasten the belt a little bit more in terms of the finances.
We did that. Obviously, we put that chart up of, as I, when we talk about sports and what it costs to have a sport in an athletic department, to me, there's three buckets, right? You've got salaries associated just with that sport. So that's really your coaching staff, director of ops, things of that nature. Then you've got financial aid costs, and then you've got operational costs. And I think most of our coaches in our non-revenue sports operate pretty lean. They always have. They will continue to do that. So there's not a lot of opportunities to, hey, let's cut this, let's cut that. But what I've asked everybody in our department to do, and myself included, and the example I used in a previous article was our previous associate AD, you know, can we, maybe just through attrition, as other top opportunities arise for people, say, hey, can we move some responsibilities around and do things a little bit differently and pick up some cost savings? And we're going to try to do that across the department, and not just in personnel. How do we operate? How do we save some dollars here or there? As my CFO is walking behind you guys here, it's a quote of his, so I'll have to give him credit for it. But he says, peanuts feed elephants. And so, $20 million, that's a big expense line. And I know we're not just going to cut our way to $20 million. That's not the expectation. But the expectation is to run a very functional athletic department where we aren't wasting dollars, and all those dollars that we are finding are going towards that expense line that we're going to see here in the near future.
All right, that was Josh Hurd with Eric Crawford, Tyler Griever. Appreciate their hard work on getting that sound. But look, some interesting stuff there. Just, I think it was interesting as his CFO was walking by behind Eric Crawford or Tyler Griever, made the comparison. It's like, yeah, peanuts feed elephants as well. So in terms of, there's little things that they could do internally, different responsibilities going out. And look, I mean, there's some things Drew and Mark brought it up. One of the silliest things is that, I know when Bobby Petrino was here, I'd always see the police escort of them taking a bus to a hotel when it's a home game. And maybe that's just something that's worked into the deals and everything, but in 2024, does that really need to happen? You know, as you're trying to navigate this landscape and the revenue gap that you keep hearing about is getting bigger and bigger when you have state-of-the-art dormitories, it's just something that I think people will point to. It's just like, okay, we could probably look at that a little bit differently.
I also think what, you know, is happening at U of L and, Zach Greenwell taking the job at LSU when they've made it known that they're not replacing his role specifically in terms of what he was doing beyond obviously men's basketball stuff, but sort of running the entire communication strategy for the athletic department. They're not replacing his role. And I think that is a sign of like the belt tightening and trying to come up with money or save money. I don't know that this will happen at U of L. I do think as people maybe move on to other jobs, their positions won't be filled. And I think that's going to be a way to reallocate funds. But I think some places, you know, people are going to lose jobs. You've had athletics departments. We've talked about it a ton, you know, all these extensive creative services, departments or social media or whatever. It's all great stuff, but I think it's all sort of a luxury. And I think that you're going to end up with a lot of belt tightening from that standpoint too.
Well, and I think David Teal, he was on LSL with Ethan Moore and Taylor Lynch. He brought up some interesting things as you kind of look at a broader view of just everything that's transpired in college athletics, what the ACC looks to do. I know many folks are upset with maybe how, I don't know, lackadaisical is the right word. Jim Phillips probably comes across. I'm not saying he's Brett Yorbik of the Big 12 and going out for the naming rights, but David Teal was on with LSL and he brought up some good points. It's like, look, now you got a footprint in Duke and at Stanford with the ACC. And what do a lot of those universities produce? Relationships at massive tech companies. So Apple, even thinking of the Amazons of the world, they're a feeder system essentially for Silicon Valley and some of these massive tech companies. So I know this speaks more to the naming rights of the ACC, but I think it speaks to the commissioners of these non-SEC and Big Ten conferences that you have to think outside the box. And obviously the Big 12 is. We talked about it last week with the All-State 12. So David Teal brought up a good point. We'll play some of this out here in a second, but maybe do, okay, if they're the All-State 12, maybe do the nationwide ACC or something like that. You know, just something, their direct competitor, but a way where they can think outside the box to offset some of the revenue coming up there. So here's what David Teal on LSL had to say about some creative ways that they can make up and how ironclad that grant of rights deal is with Clemson and Florida State.
Oh, there's so many options. I mean, I would tend to skew toward the tech sector with Cal and Stanford coming in, Silicon Valley. I mean, that's big money out there. And oh, by the way, the CEOs of Apple and Intel earn their master's degrees from Duke and Stanford, respectively. Mm. So maybe they might be ready to ante up. But if you really wanted to play into conference, the overall geography, you know, they're talking about the All-State 12, one up in nationwide ACC.
Ah, yeah, you're onto something.
There's an insurance company, and also kind of speaks to the three time zone footprint of the league. I know it's not the answer that you or your listeners would want to hear, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly don't believe anyone. I think it's impossible to tell. Guys, just look at the changes in college athletics nationwide in the last 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
Who knows what things are going to look like, what the courts may rule in the next 2 years, and what might transpire on the field, and what's the college football playoff look like, and what do subsequent media rights deals look like? Or, you know, have we hit a bubble there? Are the networks at a place where they just can't ante up anymore for these rights fees? It's all such an unknown, and those are just some of the things that will determine not only the ACC's fate, but the other leagues as well.
All right, David Teal, he was on with LSL on Wednesday. Good stuff there. Just kind of an evergreen thing when we talk about conference realignment. But look, I mean, I think it's pertinent with everything that transpired with Josh Hurd, talking to Tyler Griever and company and about the fastening of the belts, with that. But, some little newsy things there as we inch closer to the college football release. And we're getting closer. All the guys around here are talking smack about it. I'm like, guys, it was a decade ago the last time you got on that game. Like, I think you're talking, your game's talking a little bit, bigger than what you could actually put out there. I've been very quiet about it because I'm not confident in my skill a decade later.
I'm going to be terrible. I wasn't great back then. Won't be good now. Haven't played a video game in a very, very long time. How about Louisville men's basketball? I mean, what a year. Two trips to the Bahamas.
I know. So the news out there, in case you missed it, Pat Kelsey let it slip on with Bobby V on Monday or Tuesday, but then they just finally released it, which I just love with that. But yeah, the against the Bellhops, they're going to have some fun with that. But yeah, he's heading
only
down.
Two games also. They're there for like 5 days, two games. It's a beautiful situation.
Yeah, it's interesting to me because I feel like last go round is like on that Flo Hoops look. I got to be honest. If the ACC, and I know there's particulars and I'm not sure that all the ins and outs of that. They gotta air this in the middle of the end of July. Like you'll be right off the ACC kickoff and media days. You gotta be clamoring for content. Like you gotta be able to air this, right?
I'm hoping. I'm also hoping that they send the radio crew down because, you know, it'd be nice for Paul and Bobby an extra trip to Bahamas too.
Oh, I played at a golf scramble last week. Paul's just glistening. I mean, he just looks tan. I got the side eye from everyone's like, he knows Paul Rogers. He knows Paul Rod. And I was like, yeah, give me some nucks, Paul. So yeah, it was good to see it. But yeah, he looks like he's ready for the Bahamas with that nice little glow that he has working for him. But yeah, no, look, I think the social media things that have been coming out, that's something else between Kentucky and the University of Louisville, putting some things out there. And you're getting to know the coaching staff and you're getting to know some little things about it. I know Ennis tweeted out the funny haha of like Pat Kelsey's like a psycho when it comes to a shoe coming off. So you're seeing some of the things of I love that. I think it was Chucky Hepburn that looked so confused when that hit the shoe came off, like what happened right now. But you're getting to know, and not to say that the previous regime didn't do this, because I actually think they did a decent job with putting lipstick on a pig and trying to get the content out there. Like they were just kind of handcuffed in terms of what they could do. But it's been fun to see just kind of getting to know these players, because I got to be honest, I'm looking at some of these guys and I have to get the roster out, but I feel like I'm 75 years old.
It's a whole
old.
New team.
I know, but it's like, man, it's these guys are breaking them down, and I'm just like, man, I got to get a roster, a number out. Like, same with Kentucky, and it's also the old man in me. It's like, you can go past five now, so I'm seeing a Kentucky player wearing number 77. Like, what? I was like, I'm used to this in the NBA. Yeah, I'm not used to this in college basketball.
That's still an adjustment for me, too. But I do think the larger thing about Pat Kelsey going off about the shoe and all that, like that's an attention to detail that I think we can safely say the previous staff didn't have. And regardless of your feelings there,
it matters, man.
No one was going to go off in practice about a shoe coming off with the previous staff. And you can say that's right or wrong or whatever.
What have I said from the mountaintops?
It's a whole different feel right now.
Mark Cuban, Eric Spoelstra with the Heat culture. He talked, I know your favorite player, LeBron James, like he said, mm-hmm. he would always, his locker room was clean. He'd fold up his stuff, and his jerseys, and it, everything would be pristine. But what it was my crutch I would go to, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And I think, if you can bottle that energy that Pat Kelsey had, and that translates an ounce to this team, I think you will get a better product than what you had last year. So that's, I think that's some of the things that some people will be excited about. Now, it was funny. Somebody, I'm looking at the text line. People were having some fun. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. He's Nick Kern. I'm Phil Baker. Sunday morning hangover here on ESPN 680 105.7. They're basically trying to see, yeah, that was great that the shoe came off, but I'm trying to see the lineups that were out on there. I mean, that's why this is the top college basketball where you're taking a, what, 20 to 5 to 30 second clip, and you're trying to see which jersey, who's wearing the red jersey. Like that's when you know this is a hotbed, and you hopefully get back to that.
And that's one of the cool things about the summer Bahamas trip is to be able to see, you know, obviously from a practical standpoint, guys that haven't played together really before and gelling a completely new team together. It's important for that, but it's also great for us as fans to be able to watch and sort of see, you know, how things are coming together. It was one of the cool things about Louisville women's basketball last year in that trip to the global jam in Toronto, being able to watch them play a little bit there. It's a lot of fun when you can see things sort of start to come together before the season even gets going.
Yeah, no, and I think some people are saying their favorite part of it was just seeing like the players point out that the shoe is off. So just building that type of environment and having some fun. And look, I don't want to make it just to Pat Kelsey and Louisville, although it's a polar opposite of what you had with Kenny Payne. But you know, the John Calipari experiment, they've both taken the high roads. We'll play some of the sound coming up in hour number two with John Calipari and how he said they needed a different voice. Mark Pope on with John Wall play coming up here in a second. They were talking about just, you know, he holds him in the highest regard. So both of them, even though they broke up with each other, Mitch Barnhart and John Calipari, trying to take the high road of how they feel about the overall program as a whole. I know you got to get out of here in a bit and take the car back. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. On the other side, I will play that Mark Pope and John Wall sound talking about his decision to come to Kentucky and what that looks like. We got more sound coming up in hour number two. But Nick, you got to get out of here in the final, you know, 60 seconds. Say farewell to everybody, I guess, if you would.
Yes. Fun week. Looking forward to next week. And, well, normally I would plug the bats right here, but we're gone this upcoming week. Never too early, though, to get your tickets for July 3rd. They're going very quickly. So go to batsbaseball.com. And
all
wish me safe drive. Long drive ahead.
Put on a good podcast. You'll be good. All right, man. The man, the myth, the legend, the International League All-Star, Nick Curran. He's got to get out of here. On the other side, we play a little bit of Popey Boy sound with John Wall. Right here on your sports station, ESPN 680, 105.7.
Hit the Grand Slam jackpot with BetMGM. Score a $50,000 bonus bet jackpot when a player you bet on hit a homer slugs a Grand Slam. Simply head over to BetMGM and place a home run prop bet for any of this weekend's games. If the player you bet on goes yard with the bases loaded, you'll win a share of $50,000 in bonus bets on top of your wager. Swing for the Grand Slam jackpot this season with BetMGM, official sports betting partner of the MLB. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Kentucky only. New and existing customer offer. Subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tee off for a great cause at the Best Buddies Golf Scramble. Join us on Monday, July 15th at Woodhaven Country Club. Woodhaven Country Club is home to a qualifier for the Barstool Classic Championship. Foursomes are just $600 and include lunch, green fees, car rental, a whole sponsorship sign, and more. Proceeds benefit Best Buddies in Kentucky, a nonprofit creating opportunities for friendships, jobs, and leadership for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Don't miss out. Register now at bestbuddies.org/Kentucky/golf scramble. That's bestbuddies.org/Kentucky/golf scramble. See you on the green.
UPS Jobs is hiring. Soar with the UPS Jobs team. Part-time day shift package handling positions are available with pay starting at $21 per hour. Benefits include paid holidays, paid vacation, 401k, tuition assistance, health care, medical, dental, and vision insurance after 9 months. Starting pay, $21 an hour. Apply today at upsjobs.com/worldport. Come soar with us at UPS Jobs. Apply today at upsjobs.com.
You're locked on the Sunday Morning Hangover on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Nick Curran and Phil Baker.
All right, welcome back. Seventh highest rated sports talk show on Sundays during a highly competitive 10 to noon time slot. I'm Phil Baker. Nick Curran getting back for his voyage to drop the rental car off somewhere in Nebraska. So appreciate him trying to be flexible and joining the show for the first 45 minutes or so of the show. 437-9680 is the UPS Jobs text line. If you want to interact with us on Twitter/X, it's at ESPN 680. Nick Curran, wish him well wishes and a happy belated birthday at Nick Curran 35. James Black producing today's efforts. Give him a follow on Twitter as well. JD Black Jr. on Twitter/X. And I am Phil_Baker. Phil_Baker for those that care. Elon Musk maybe one day will give me back my rightful Twitter/X handle without the double underscore, but nonetheless, that is where we are. Fun first 45 minutes of the show. Played some Josh Hurd sound with Eric Crawford and Tyler Griever. Enjoyed the content that was there, as well as some good David Teal stuff, breaking down the ACC naming rights discussion, if how ironclad this grant of rights stuff is with Clemson and Florida State, what that looks like, big picture moving forward. But I wanted to talk something I talked to James Strebel about on the roundtable, ESPN 680, 3 o'clock. I think Thursday we brought it up. But it's been fascinating to me to see just kind of the kid gloves both of these guys have been using with Mark Pope and John Wall, doing a podcast on John Wall's podcast, breaking down everything from, you know, just how everything transpired to be, being the guy after the guy. It was a good little tidbit here. So in the final couple minutes of the first hour, I wanted to play some of that sound and react to it. But here was Mark Pope, the new men's basketball coach for Kentucky, discussing with John Wall about how he was, in theory, replacing John Wooden. Here's what they said Mark Pope had to say about that.
In college coaching, one of the oldest adages, you never take the job after John Wooden, and I'm just dumb enough to take the job after all-time revolutionary Hall of Famer, one of the greatest coaches to ever walk on the face of the planet, John Calipari. And so, you know, that part is super humbling, you know, but we understand the assignment, we understand the job, and we're going full speed ahead. CJ, I'm not going to lie, I'm hyped to be on with you, but I'm out of my mind to be out with John Wall. Like, what are we talking about? Like, I'm telling you guys, listen. So I was at my first job in college basketball was at the University of Georgia. I was there John's rookie, his first and only year at the University of Kentucky. So, you know, I had a two-bit job. I was folding laundry and handing out towels. But on my own, I was doing a lot of film study, sitting with the staff doing film study. So we're prepping to go to Kentucky. We're watching film on Don. We're watching your individual clips. And you guys know, I swear this is like not an exaggeration. You guys know how it is back in the day when you would have little glitches in the film where it'd be going normal speed.
Right.
And all of a sudden it would like speed up to like 2x speed and then it would go back to normal. So we're watching a transition clip. And John, you started like one step past the free throw line. You took like one or two strides and then it was like, bloop, and then all of a sudden you were at the next free throw line and we were like, wait, is the film broken? It was not broken, man. My gosh. Huge fan, my friend.
Appreciate it. I want to say thanks for joining us, Coach. You know, I got to meet you at Indy at the EYBL thing. So it was nice to finally get to meet you. And I know everybody was anticipating, like, oh, is John Wall going to meet Coach Pope before the season starts? Is he going to go to games? But I just want to say congratulations to you for getting a head coaching job. And where do you see yourself taking the program and what you think, like, the future is? Because I know it's a lot of expectation that everybody wants you to live up to what Coach Cal did. But you're your own coach. You have your own pedigree. You have your own way. So where do you see yourself taking it?
Well, listen, I mean, Kentucky is Kentucky. I mean, as you know, right? There's nowhere like it. I mean, there's college basketball, there's blue bloods in college basketball, and then there's Kentucky. It's just a standalone. I might be biased when I say that, but I got to wear this jersey. I know what it's like to wear this jersey, and there's just no place like this. I could cite 100 different examples, whether it's winning or pros or championships or fan base. It just is different. And so there's no acceptable expectations here other than winning championships. We say that all the time. Like, you know, if you know, we talked about this at the press conference when I was introduced as the next head coach. If you know, most coaches stand up at the press conference and they try and moderate expectations because that's a smart thing to do. Give yourself time. Build the program. Take a few years, right? That's just not acceptable at Kentucky. Like, when you walk in the door, you better be ready to win a banner. Like, you got to hang a banner. You better win a ring, win a championship. And that might seem like unreasonable expectations. All of us on this Zoom, we know how hard that is. And if you don't want that, go take some other job. You could take any other job in college basketball. But if you're coming to Kentucky, you know what the challenge is, and the expectation is that you hang a banner every year, and if you don't, you fall short. And I'm okay with that reality. That's just the reality here, and there's no place I'd rather be.
All right, that was Mark Pope on with the John Wall podcast, I think a part of the DraftKings Network. So good stuff there about how he was the guy that was replacing the guy and compared John Calipari to John Wooden, which was entertaining there. Some other little tidbits that came from there that I think that many Kentucky fans would enjoy. Mark Pope takes every recruit to the Rupp Rafter. So Rupp Arena is a sacred building to me, is what Mark Pope said. It's just sacred. The one thing I've done with every single recruit is walk up to the top. I'll take guys one at a time and just sit with them in the upper deck all the way up 10 rows from the top. Pope said, John, I don't know if Coach Cal ever made you go up and touch the wall, but Coach Petito made us run up there and touch the wall. If we turned it over or whatever, go touch the wall. There were a lot of other words other than that. It's steep up there, but it's something really special to him and a quiet of that gym. So there is Mark Pope having some fun with that. But look, I think you can break it. We'll play some sound coming up here as well. Just breaking down the relationship that Mark Pope and John Calipari had, and I think it's more so of John Calipari. He was on with Dan Patrick and Jim Rome. We'll play that sound coming up here in hour number two, but breaking down just the decision-making process to why he decided to get a different voice and how his timeline, which is a little murky to me still, talking to the Tyson Chicken King mogul himself, and how the AD discussion came to be. That was entertaining to me to just see how all of that big picture was able to transpire and unfold over that. And if you missed anything from the first 45 minutes, Nick and I talked about just some of the athletic budget for Josh Hurd, Eric Crawford, and Tyler Griever broke that down. We can maybe spend a little bit more time on that coming up in hour number two as well. A couple texts before we get out of here at the top of the hour. 437-9680 is the UPS Jobs text line if you want to interact with us that way. 437-9680. It's going to be tough to take calls today, so if we aren't able to get that, if just be sure to send in some texts. Let me knock out some of these right now. Also seeing on Twitter, I talked about with Nick, I am just blown away at Conor McGregor's freaking pinky toe. That is near and dear to my heart. That's just, I had a broken pinky toe and I'm still wearing tennis shoes because of that. Let's see. Just love seeing the 180 in terms of energy that Pat Kelsey's bringing to the table. The shoe came off. For those that aren't on Twitter or social media that didn't see it, a shoe came off during practice. Pat Kelsey's notorious for trying to take the shoe off, or, you know, he goes crazy when somebody's shoe comes off in that. So he said he was going to throw it out there if that happened again and throw it in the middle of the street, which I think some people would have fun. Look, Pat Kelsey and Mark Pope have a unique ability. We had RP Theater and John Calipari Theater, but from the standpoint of what Mark Pope and Pat Kelsey bring to the table, it's been fascinating to me to see the different styles of that, because it's borderline cheesy and corny, but I think fans will eat it up in a unique way if they are winning, and not make fun of and poke fun of it and saying they're cheesy or cornballs with that. A couple more texts coming down here before we closer to the top of the hour. Let's see. I don't know. This is random. I saw John Daly chug at least three Diet Cokes and rip a few heaters. I don't know if we talk about golf in the first segment. I'm not sure with about that. Get Nick to chime in on Deion Sanders at a bat game. That's very random. Let's see. A couple more others that we have here. Reminder, we're your home for the ACC and SEC media days, as well as the NBA draft coming up here next week. Let me get a couple of these. This report from Crawford. Oh, it's loading on me. Talking about, come on, Old Faithful, UofL athletic department. This report from Crawford makes me things are really bad at UofL. I don't have an issue with the cutting and fastening of the belts, but it makes me feel like we're going back in time to not be a legit program. Look, I understand the uncertainty, because I think you were sold from the ACC standpoint that you'd be locked into these grant of rights in the TV contract, but the very thing that was keeping the league together, what John Swoffer was able to do with ESPN, is also tearing it apart. But I think that's something that I understand the concern around that, but I think you're just going to have to see adaptive ways to get unique, selling the naming rights of the ACC conference could do it. Or, like, I mean, what Tim Sullivan talked about, as well as some other podcasts that he's done, about having an open invite to the Big 12, exploring that opportunity there. All right, we're inching closer to the top of the hour. I'll try to get to some more text coming up in hour number two right here on your sports station, ESPN 680-1057. Reminder, we got you covered with wall-to-wall coverage if you are driving around. Today, we have everything from a little Sunday night baseball with the Cubs and Mets, everything in between as well, with a little College World Series coming up between Tennessee and Texas A&M. 145 over on 93.9 The Ville and the ESPN Louisville app via Westwood One. Reds, Red Sox, 110, ESPN 680-1057. And be sure to stop by Barino's and say what's up to George and Company if you're driving around. It's the Market Street location across from the Convention Center, just a stone's throw from the KFC Yum Center. George Timmery and Company do great work down there. So if you want to get something, a bite to eat, and you're just our downtown, just grab some pie. George and Company at Barino's have you covered. I'm Phil Baker. Nick Curran probably out for the rest of the show. We will find out in hour number two right here on your sports station, ESPN 680-1057. The 9th annual Jefferson Town Summer Craft Beer Fest, presented by Speedwash Car Wash, returns on July 20th from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. The Craft Beer Fest takes place in the heart of downtown J-Town, featuring local and national craft breweries, the Beyond the Beer Bar, a seltzer and wine bar, food trucks, plus live music and much more. For tickets, head to any Cox's or Evergreen Liquors location. This event will sell out. For more information and a schedule for a discounted ticket events dates at Cox's and Evergreen Liquors, head to jtownbeerfest.com. We look forward to having a beer with you soon at the J-Town Beer Fest.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it It's time to replace your heating and air system. We know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Welcome back to the Sunday Morning Hangover on your sports leader, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Nick Curran and Phil Baker.
Two, three, and to the four. Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the door, ready to make an entrance, so back on up, cause you know we're about to rip it up. Give me the microphone first so I can bust like a bubble. Compton and Long Beach together, now you know you in trouble. Ain't nothing but a G-Bang, baby. Too low depth, throw it crazy. Death Row is the label that pays me. Unfadable, so please don't try to fake it. But back to the lecture.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two of the Sunday Morning Hangover right here on ESPN 680, 105.7, the ESPN Louisville app. Hopefully you are having a wonderful, wonderful Sunday right here in the Metro Louisville. Hot out there. Mark with a C. Weinberg giving us a favorable forecast all around there. It is hot, but it is summer. I love it. I love everything about it. Deal with it. Biscuit and all you other folks that hate this heat, I am a reptile when it comes to that. So have fun with that. 437-9680 is the UPS Jobs text line if you want to interact with us on Twitter. It's at ESPN680, Nick Curran 35, and I am at Phil_Baker. Shout out to Elon Musk for making that difficult so I can't change or buy the back. But maybe he's changing these things. He's hiding likes now on Twitter. So maybe that's something else he can do, is giving me my rightful Twitter handle at Phil_Baker. But no, in fact, it is Phil_Baker. Tons of things to get to coming up after us. Reds and Red Sox 110 right here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Then you got the College World Series coming up, 145 over on 93.9 DeVille between Tennessee and Texas A&M. Cubs and Mets, Sunday Night Baseball right here on ESPN 680, 105.7, and the ESPN Louisville app if you're driving around. We are your sports station and your home for the NBA draft. We want to get into some stuff of that. Our buddy over at The Ringer, my buddy Kyle Mann, doing great work over there as well. He and his colleague, Kevin O'Connor, going to look at their big board, see what's happening up. But look, this is the top college basketball market. I know it hasn't been so in recent years with all the crap teams, but we have some opportunities with some local interest that I think we'll dive into with some Kentucky guys, some Indiana guys, and just the overall draft. I love the draft. It's now a two-day event, which is fascinating to me as well. So we'll dive into that. Kyle was on with Dan Patrick. We talked a little bit about that with Nick Curran in hour number one, so we can dive and react to a little bit more of that as well. And we also had some good stuff from the boys over at LSL I wanted to get to with David Teal of the Richmond Times, kind of breaking down the future of college athletics, the ACC. That's fascinating to me, the naming rights and how just pro, quite frankly, proactive they are going to be. It's one of the things that I think folks kind of freak out about with the future of the sports. But like, I go back to this, like, if you're going to have the ability to, you know, freak out about the ACC could be rebranded to, which he actually throws out a wonderful name of, if the Big 12 is going to go with All State, then maybe the ACC should go with Nationwide. I thought that was a great idea. If you're just going to get into the insurance wars, this is what they could do to be proactive. And I think the frustration that many have with Jim Phillips is that he's not being proactive with that. So we'll dive into that. We'll play a little bit more of that sound coming up here in a little bit as well. Couple things also I wanted to get into. Greg McElroy was on his Omaha Productions ESPN podcast. He had a lot of good things to say about Jeff Brohm. We can play some of that sound as well coming up here momentarily. John Calipari, he was on with Dan Patrick. It was interesting to see the mental gymnastics he was doing in terms of trying to make sure that everybody was on the up and up with his decision of why he decided to go to Arkansas, why that made sense. Did they approach him, or did he approach them? It's kind of some naiveness that I chuckled at a little bit in terms of how John Calipari said, I wasn't looking for a job, I was just going to talk to their AD. But we'll play some of that sound. This is John Calipari on with Dan Patrick talking about the decision-making that went into his decision to go to Arkansas. I know we've heard this a little bit, but
but I think Dan Patrick has the unique ability to poke and pry a little bit better than others. Here's what John Calipari had to say on his decision to make the jump over there.
Did you jump before you were pushed? Can we be fair about the situation at Kentucky?
Yeah, I don't think that was the case. But, and again, it had nothing to do with fans. Fans, you go to a Knick game and they're playing bad. What are they doing in the second quarter? They're booing. I mean, fans are fans. Kentucky fans are engaged. They're exactly what you want in a fan until you lose a game you're not supposed to lose. And they're still engaged. So it had nothing to do with that. For me to do what I'm doing, I needed that tailwind, no headwinds. We needed to be able to move in what we were doing. And, you know, as far as saying, well, they pushed you out. No, I don't think that was the case. But again, let it be good for both. I mean, I had 15 great years there. Let Mark Pope have 15 great years. Let me finish how I want to finish. Let me build another program. Let's win another national championship. Let's help another 25 families. Let me do this. And you and I have been, when you didn't have gray hair, but we've been doing this a long time. And whether I was at UMass, you came in and missed jump shots. Whether I was at Memphis and we were doing this and Kentucky over the years, I don't know. When I was with the Nets, did we do anything?
Yes.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
It was after I got fired. You went
yes, I did.
Tell me how it feels. How do you feel now?
I think I asked you, why Kerry Kittles and not Kobe Bryant?
Yeah, you did that. You've done that for 25 years.
How does Arkansas know you're available if you're happy at Kentucky?
A good friend of mine, John Tyson, he and I have been friends for 20 years.
Tyson called, Chicken.
Yeah, 20 years, 25 years maybe, tried to get me to take the job when I was in Memphis in 2007 maybe. And at that time, Dan, if I left players. Like, they were there. And if my assistant wasn't going to get the job, I wasn't comfortable just leaving. And that was Derrick Rose, Antonio Anderson, Chris Douglas Robert Dozier, Joey Dorsey. I can go on. The guys that I would have left. So he calls me on a Thursday night. I'm at the Final Four. And he said, Cal, it's Johnny. And I said, what's up? And he said, I need you to meet with the AD. And I said, what AD? They said, our AD at Arkansas. And I said, okay, what are we meeting about? Well, he wants to talk to you about candidates and the job and what he's trying to do. And why don't you meet with him? I said, okay, but I'm leaving town at 1 o'clock on Friday. So we got to meet at 11:30, and I'll give him an hour. Well, in the conversation, you can imagine, if you think this is such a great job, why not you? And he said, give me 15 minutes to talk about you. And then I looked at my watch. I said, I got to go. I got a guy downstairs who I'm flying with, and I got to get down there. And he said, well, I'm not going to do anything till you tell me no. And then we spent 2 days, and I'll give you the conversation to change me. Kelvin Sampson and I have been friends for a long, long time. I called Kelvin to check on Hunter, the AD, who had been at Houston with him. Well, he went crazy. I love him. He's the best. He's this. He's that. Okay. But I'm having a hard time because I'm going to end up leaving players. And Kelvin went crazy. What? If you leave, they can leave. They can go where they want. They can go with you. They can go pro. What are you talking about? This isn't 10 years ago. And then he said, the one that got me. And if you stay, they can leave. They can go somewhere else. They can go pro. This is different. And you know what? That got me to think in a different way. And within 36 hours, I said, you know what? I want this new challenge. I want to help a bunch of families. I want to bring something to that state and that program that explodes the state. And let's go. Let's go do this.
All right, there's John Calipari shedding more light on his move to Arkansas, basically saying, I wasn't planning on this, but it was funny to see how that happened in the 2 months that have transpired since he shocked the college basketball world when John Calipari was hired away from Kentucky. Just makes me chuckle a lot, saying he had 15 great years at Kentucky. I loved it there. It was a great run. We helped a lot of families over there, won a lot of games, league championships, Final Four, Elite Eights, national titles, even though it's just one. Sweet 16, they needed to hear another voice, and then he definitely has Mark Pope. A couple things there. Just the whole avenue in which they decided to link up with the Tyson company. He had his good friend John Tyson when he tried to get him away when he was at Memphis. Also, what transpired of what led to his decision-making process to feel comfortable and going there, going for a walk, talking to his priest. It was entertaining all around to hear some of the decision-making process that went into that and why he couldn't do it there, and his discussion that he had with Calvin Sampson, I think, is fascinating. Just the different state of college athletics as a whole. It's been interesting to me, too, switching it up to the local coaches that have been here with Pat Kelsey, John Calipari. I'm sorry, look at me, Freudian slip. Pat Kelsey and Mark Pope, that they're being mic'd up. You're seeing the social media teams and the creativity, the creative teams putting some things out there of them being mic'd up. And I'm loving the gas baggery from folks that are like, oh, they're getting a really good feel for Mark Pope and everything that comes with it. The communication, there's a buzz around. Yeah, it's called coaching. Like, yeah, don't make it bigger than what it is. Like, I still have questions about Mark Pope. I have questions about Pat Kelsey, but you're not going to give me a little propaganda video around their social media teams and tell me it's like, this is different than what a Hall of Fame coach was doing. It warms my heart to see that narrative out there a little bit. So Mark Pope was mic'd up. He did about 3.5 minutes from the social accounts on there, maybe longer on their YouTube channel. Pat Kelsey, the same with the Louisville basketball as well. I will say, I had a bunch of folks in my DMs sending me something at Phil_Baker and to the personal bad phone about the denim kick that Mark Pope had on for that, which is interesting to me because somebody had a question and I was in a group message with Ethan Moore about this and talking about how is Mark Pope able to wear Converse from the denim. For those that didn't see it, the BBN honks out there were going crazy over everything because they saw the denim Chucks. I say Chucks, the denim Converse that Mark Pope was wearing when during that social media video. Now, here's the question. So, this is what happened. Nike bought Converse, I want to say in 2003, for about $315 million after they filed for bankruptcy. So, that's something that he's able to be under that scope of that. So anyone that was asking me questions like, how is he able to do it? They try to do the Nolan Smith stuff of wearing Nikes when they're at Adidas school. A little bit different because Nike bought Converse. So for those that were sliding into my DMs about that, asking how Mark Pope was able to wear the Converse in the denim color, they are actually Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's SGAs, who is a Converse athlete for that. So I know all eight of you care about that. I had to put that out there because people were losing their mind asking, well, Nolan Smith wore Nikes and Kenny Payne wore Hokas. How is Mark Pope have that same energy toward Mark Pope? Well, Mark Pope is a Nike school. I'm sorry, Mark Pope works in Kentucky, a Nike school, but Converse was purchased by Nike in 2003. That is how they were able to get away with that. So calm down, all you BBN honks out there and Louisville fans that are losing their mind all over what Mark Pope was wearing and whatnot. Also, a couple things else I wanted to get into. Pat Kelsey, he was on with Bobby V. We'll play a little bit of sound from that, reacting to just tipping his hand a little bit, dare I say, with some of the foreign trips that may be coming up. Good interview with Bobby V and Nick Valvano earlier this week. Pat Kelsey talking about the roster, talking about the coaching staff, everything that he was able to put in between there. Good stuff from Bobby V and Nick Valvano for that. We'll play some of that sound and just some of the takeaways, big picture of what it looks like moving forward for Pat Kelsey and co. as he's making the media around car washes. I mean, look, I think it's very apparent, and Bob even asked him, you'll hear here in a second, why is he doing this now? And I think it's important because it was the complete opposite of the last regime. Regardless of what you think is going to happen, big picture with Louisville basketball, I know Jeff Goodman has had the turnaround from that. There's some other metrics out there that says they expect Louisville to have a big turnaround that flirting with the tournament. Jeff Goodman's going to be a little bit more cautiously optimistic because he's friends with Pat Kelsey. So I know Mark Blankenbaker is having some fun with that, saying his credibility is lost. But as Double D points out, you want to be in the good graces of somebody like Jeff Goodman, who is kind of the college basketball, not the college basketball voice, but a voice of the sport, and having access around there does matter. So let me do this. Let me play a little bit of sound from Bobby V. He had Pat Kelsey on earlier this week talking about everything from the roster build, the scheduling, a possible foreign trip that could be coming up that he maybe slipped in there as well. Here is Pat Kelsey on with Bobby V earlier this week. Here's what that sounded like right here on ESPN 680, 105.7, and the ESPN Louisville app. For the full interview, head over to ESPNLouisville.com.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think obviously we recruit to our system. We recruit players that kind of fit in the style of basketball that we want to play, but I think all good coaches understand that every team is a little bit different, and it's important, you know, to put your players in the best position possible and make sure you're making adjustments as you get to know your team better for certain things that fit your who you are and what you're about. So, you know, I think every team evolves from the time that they all get together. For us, it was on June 5th when they showed up for summer school. And as we get through this summer, obviously we have an opportunity to go on a foreign tour, which I probably shouldn't have said that. I think it's going to get to be announced here really soon. But have an opportunity to get some practices in July, play together, and then as we get back together in the fall and start our preseason, we'll have evolved a lot as a team and throughout the course of the season as well. But you said it 100%. You need to be able to adjust and tweak from time to time based on the personnel and the team that you have. No, I don't know. I mean, I just have a great support staff around me that point me in the right direction and put me in the right positions, just like great point guards do, right? They put you in the right places on the floor, know when to get people the ball when they need the ball. So people in our department and I sat down and we just, you know, we want to do our best to make sure we're connecting with this city, connecting with this fan base, keeping people obviously abreast of what's going on in our program, but excited about the upcoming season. So, you know, hopefully you're okay with it. Recruiting the high school level and recruiting at the grassroots level is very, very important, even in this transfer portal age. You know, you want to get old and stay old, so supplementing your roster every single year with transfers is very important. Obviously, this year was probably a little bit of an outlier in that we had to sign an entire roster in 2 months. But obviously, you know, my staff is absolutely busting their butts around the world, literally of you know, having a great class in 25 and a great class in 26.
All right, good stuff from Bob Valvano from The V Show and Nikki V. Had Pat Kelsey on, the new Louisville men's basketball coach, breaking that down and everything he had in there. Reminder, we are your home for the NBA draft. There is going to be no Louisville players selected in this year's draft, but there will be some local connections with that. Right now, my buddy Kyle Mann and his buddy Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer, the latest one that they have for local connects, they have Reed Shepard going number 3 to the Houston Rockets, also having Robert Dillingham going 11th to the Bulls, playing for one Billy Donovan with that other local connection, Zach Edey going to the God, I mean, just imagine Zach Edey with the freaking 7'3" with freaking Chet Holmgren playing with the Thunder. I mean, just the rich get richer with that. They were the number one seed in the West, so I know people would have some fun with that. And then I remember there was the Indiana player, Coyle Ware. He is projected to go number 17th to the Lakers. Some other notable names that probably remember. I mean, a ton of ACC and SEC players around Dalton Connect. He's projected to go 10th to let's see, the Jazz. Perfect. That's perfect for him to go there. I'm trying to find where Bronny James is. I know you all don't care about that, but I just for the dialogue that comes from that, I think it'll be. Oh, Baylor Shireman. He was the senior. He's projected to go to the Bucks. He was the one. There it is. Trenton Flowers, 34th. Baylor Shireman from he's Creighton. He's a senior, obviously in the mix to play at Kentucky for John Calipari last year. He's projected to go 33rd to the Bucks. Trenton Flowers. Yes, that Trenton Flowers projected to go 34th. He played in the NBL last season, but obviously many people having some fun with that because he was supposed to be playing with Louisville. Some of the description here, despite his youth, Flowers had an impressive season playing in the NBL as he could be a complement to Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe if his skills translate to the NBL. It's so weird to me seeing these former guys that are, you know, NBA players in the 90s now that have kids in here with that. All right. Also, Justin Edwards, 42nd, projected to go to the Hornets. from Kentucky. He struggled a lot, obviously. Many people said it was due to some of the between the ear stuff, but no doubt about it, he was, you know, projected to be a top five pick. He is projected to go to the Charlotte Hornets. I am trying to find if Bronny, do they have Bronny James being drafted? I don't think the Ringer has Bronny James being drafted. Oh, okay, here it is. All right, 55th. It feels inevitable that Bronny will end up with the Lakers after he canceled workouts with everyone else but the Lakers and the Suns. But would LA really take him in the first round since he's so unready for the NBA? It seems unfathomable. The spot is more likely. They have him going 55th there, but make no mistake about it. LeBron James carries a massive, massive stick. Save that for the mixtape, Sofro, when it comes to having some clout with that. You can listen to the NBA right here on your sports station, ESPN 680, 105.7, 93.9 The Ville. We will probably be carrying the first round, as I believe the second round will be at 4 o'clock in the middle of the day. That is something that is, I know a lot of people are gravitating toward, and they're having some fun with this being the top NBA market of NBA draft market. You can listen to that right here on your sports station. All right, on the other side, I think Nick Curran's going to try to reconnect. If not, we'll close out the show with a little what else is going on right here on your sports station, ESPN 680, 105.7 in the ESPN Louisville app. I'm Phil Baker. Reminder, we got you covered with wall-to-wall action. If you were driving around play-by-play, Reds and Red Sox coming up 110 right here in ESPN 680 and 105.7, presented by our good friends over at Barino's Pizza and DFH Heating and Cooling. Tennessee and Texas A&M coming up at 145 on 93.9 The Ville for a little College World Series and a little Sunday Night Baseball presented by our good friends over at Louisville Ladder and Derby City Gaming. Cubs and Mets coming up 6 o'clock right here on ESPN 680, 105.7. If you want to text the show, 437-9680 on the UPS Jobs text line. It's on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has 4 area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Aircoy Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
All right, welcome back. It is the 7th highest-rated sports talk show on Sundays during a highly competitive 10 to noon time slot. Was that Uzi? Wait, at Funk Fest coming up. I have no idea who that was. James Black producing today's effort. Nick Curran would be proud of the country song of the week. Final segment here before we get you out into the weekend right here on your sports station, ESPN 680, 105.7, and the ESPN Louisville. I appreciate you making us a part of your day right here on the Sports Leader. Reminder, we got you covered with wall-to-wall action coming up here throughout the day, whether it be play-by-play, whether it be anything and everything from the NBA draft coming up next week. We got you covered with tons and tons of play-by-play College World Series. NBA draft, I believe, will start Thursday as well as going into Friday. I think it starts at 4 o'clock Friday, so I'm not sure if we're going to carry that. But a reminder, we got you covered. Reds, Red Sox, 110 right here on ESPN 680, 105.7. College World Series, 145 on 93.9 The Ville, and Cubs versus Mets, a little Sunday Night Baseball, the Jack Grossmans versus the Bob Valvanos on ESPN 680, 105.7. All that coverage of the NBA draft coming up on Thursday, presented by our good friends over at Barno's Pizza, serving Louisville-style pizza since 1977, 13 area locations. Besides award-winning pizza, they serve pasta, sandwiches, salads, apps, including chicken wings. They got you covered. Dine-in, carry-out, delivery, and order online at barnos.com. Be sure to stop by the new Lou location. I say new Lou, it's on Market Street by the Convention Center. Say hi to George. See the new location down there. It's a great, great setup. Barno's Pizza, yeah. It's that good. 437-9680 is the UPS Jobs text, and you can interact with us on Twitter at ESPN680. Nick, not sure if he's going to be able to join us right now, but he's at NickCurran35. Be sure to give James a follow as well. He is JD Black Jr., I believe, on Twitter. And I am Phil_Baker. For those that want to tweet at Elon Musk and be upset about what he's done to Twitter, I'm upset because I just do not have I still have the double underscore right there. We'll get to some stuff, a ton of things we talked about in the first hour with Eric Crawford. Nick Curran was able to join us for a little bit there. We dove through that. If you miss anything on the podcast center, be sure to head over and listen to that. A couple things I wanted to get to before we get out of here and what else is going on. We had a couple things that stemmed from the NBA draft coming up. Reed Sheppard, he sat down with Andy Katz to discuss what it means to him, big picture, making the leap to the NBA, the switch of John Calipari, Perry, Mark Pope coming over, what that looks like for him, from people that maybe said that he wasn't going to be an NBA prospect. Now he's projected to go in the top five. Some projected him to go in the top three, and even some out there, my buddy Kyle Mann and Kevin O'Connor over at The Ringer are saying that he could go third, but some are still having him in, you know, one, two, three. It's a moving target for that. But he caught up with, Andy Katz sat down with Reed Sheppard ahead of the NBA draft. Again, you can listen right here on ESPN 680, 105.7. And here is what he had to say about his decision-making and just how tough it was to fill his father and mother's shoes at the University of Kentucky. I thought a good sit-down with Andy Katz. Here's what Reed Sheppard had to say ahead of the NBA draft coming up next week, starting Thursday. You can listen to it right here on ESPN 680, 105.7.
Unfortunately, I'm dating myself. I'm old enough that I covered your father. I saw him be an MOP at the Final Four. In the 90s, you've got your mom was a great athlete, dad, great athlete, great players. Let's go back. How much did they instill this love of this sport, the ability to play it, in you?
You know, I grew up around basketball. You know, we went to Kentucky games. We were always watching basketball. And they didn't make me play basketball. I was able to play whatever I wanted growing up, and I did until sixth grade. And then I started just playing basketball. And when I did that, then that's really when it went to another level of commitment, getting in the gym. And then they started talking to me about, you know, it's tough with what it's going to take. So I really appreciate them for that.
It's not easy to go to the same school where your father was a, you know, MVP and a national champion. You know, how did you handle that? You're trying to chart your own path, but you know your father has been on that road before.
It was a lot of fun, first off, and prepared me for what was coming. And I knew it. I was a Kentucky boy. I went to Kentucky games. I went follow Kentucky everywhere. I've always watched. I knew what the fans expected. So going in, I had a good understanding of it, but it was different. You know, it was a lot of fun, and it was really cool being able to follow dad's footsteps and then make a name of my own. So the whole process was really fun.
It didn't matter if you start or didn't start. You had an impact on the game. Why were you so ready to contribute the moment you stepped on the floor, whether you started or not?
At the end of the day, I'm going to do whatever it takes for my team to win, whether that's start, not play, play a lot. It doesn't matter to me. You know, I was really excited to be in the position that I was in. And the group that we had, it was so easy to play hard and so easy to play just free because of how good the players around me were and how good the coaches were. They put us in situations that we were the best at. So going in every game, and then you have the fans behind you of Rupp Arena, of Kentucky, you know, it's just, it's different. It feels different. It's hard not to play with energy. It's hard not to come in and be excited to play.
So everyone knows you can shoot, but for those that don't know everything else that you can do, what is it?
Yeah, I think just the way I can impact the game, whether it's getting my teammates involved, getting in the paint, throwing a lob, getting in the paint, kicking out for the corner, just doing the little things, always playing hard, doing anything it takes to win, that's how I would explain it.
So look, I mean, you're not the most imposing figure here, and you know that. What's it like when you step on the court and maybe others say, you know, come on, he's going to get past me. He's going to shoot over me. He's going to steal the ball from me. How much do you get up for that because you're not an imposing physical player?
It's different being out there when you're a little guy compared to some of the bigger guys that are out there. But, you know, at the end of the day, you just got to go out with confidence and you got to go out and play how you know how you can play. Stick to doing what you're doing, being simple, making the right basketball play.
and not trying to be someone you're not. And it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks about you or your game. You know what you're capable of. So just going out every night and being ready to fight, being ready to play as hard as you can, being able to be a good teammate is just how I look at it.
All right, good stuff there from Reed Shepherd and Andy Katz. Appreciate them sending that our way, just kind of via NBA TV ahead of the NBA draft. Good stuff that they had there leading from that. Also, some good stuff. Greg McElroy, he has his Omaha Productions. And basically, look, Louisville football is a conundrum to me. I know the guys over at 247 are basically predicting them that they could go 7-5. One of the voices of the sport. He's down in Alabama. He does the show. Cole Kublik and he and Greg do a good show down in Alabama, breaking down everything from the SEC, but also the state of college football. And he was very high on Louisville after the 247 piece came out. And I know a lot of people were kind of standoffish of what they had to say about that. But look, I think it's going to be unique. I think Louisville and Jeff Brohm, obviously through the transfer portal, had a interesting offseason with the Penny Boone stuff, but I think that defensively, there's some things you got to be excited about. And look, I say this every year moving forward, as long as Jeff Brohm is the head coach, you have some continuity now that not a wondering eye, at least it's perceived that way. So we'll dive in to some of that sound. Here's what Greg McElroy over on Omaha Productions and ESPN Radio had to say what he thinks Louisville can do this offseason.
I think they're being completely overlooked. I don't think they're slept on as much as they were last year. But last year, you just got the sense that there was going to be a real us against the world mentality. No one's talking about us. No one's respecting us. And Jeff Brohm is going to have the element of surprise up his sleeve throughout the course of the season. I think they have a good quarterback in Tyler Shough. Got to stay healthy. I think they'll be able to run the ball. Feel pretty confident about that. I think defensively, you have some massive difference makers along the defensive line, including a guy that should be, you know, in All-American contention and Ashton Gelati off the end of the line of scrimmage. So I look at their personnel and I think Louisville's really solid. And no one seems to be really talking about them. All anyone's talking about in the ACC is Florida State, Miami. I guess you could say Clemson. I think Clemson's being slept on a little too, to be honest with you. So no one's really talking about Louisville. They're just sliding over there, them alongside NC State, alongside some other teams that have really good personnel. And maybe this is the year that they can break through and make some noise.
All right, good stuff from Greg McElroy breaking down everything from what he expects Jeff Brohm and the Cardinals to do this. This on the heels of obviously what Eric Crawford put out. We talked a little bit about it with Nick Curran in hour number one. But for those that you that missed it, you know, Eric Crawford had a nice thread. He was at the Louisville Athletics Association meeting on Friday. And I think when you see what Jeff Brohm brought to the table in terms of football season ticket sales generating $26.2 million, and this on the heels of the Kenny Payne experiment that did not go out. The men's basketball ticket sales came up $1.9 million short of budget. He has a great Twitter thread and /X thread and what that means moving forward. I think Jeff Brohm and the continuity and leaving, I mean, let's be honest, what the SEC and the Big Ten are trying to accomplish and carving out everybody's else at all the conferences. It was such a power move for somebody like Jeff Brohm to take a leap to the ACC with all the uncertainty. But, you know, home is where the heart is. And I think others across the sport are beginning to do that. In case you missed that, we went through this a little bit in hour number one. I'm going to read through this a little bit. ACC legal costs that have cut into money provided the ACC network studio campus exceeded the revenue projections by $400,000. The university provided a contribution of $5 million to offset significant one-time costs. $1.5 million over on budget travel costs. Kenny Payne, buyout cash expense of $3.4 million. Assistant coach and support staff buyouts of $400,000. So that's the Nolan Smiths of the world, the Josh Jamesons, the Danny Mannings of the world. Unbudgeted expenses. The final Papa John's payout settlement of $2 million. Pat Kelsey Charleston buyout of $1.1 million. Credit card fees. God, that's crazy. $540,000 in credit card fees. ACC championship game cost them $400,000. This is the cost of doing business, boy, in big time athletics. Budget challenges for next season. Only 6 football games. This is again from Eric Crawford, WDRB. Encourage you to give him a follow on Twitter. He does great, great work, and I'm stealing his work right now. So only 6 football home games. Losing Indiana football game, that is replaced with Jacksonville State, which I know isn't going to excite many folks there. 6 road trips to California. This is the cost of doing business with the realignment of that. And I think what Bobby V's talked about, Nikki V is getting away from, you know, the Olympic model. Football and basketball can kind of do their own thing, but, take it, you know, the cross country track and field teams and swimming and diving. What does that make sense? Evolution of NCAA, more family members and recruiting visits, et cetera. And then inflation. Also, upcoming revenue goals. So 40,000 football season tickets. That's a 10% increase. This is wild to me that I'm even uttering this sentence. Sell 12,000 men's basketball season tickets. That's a 30% increase. That is crazy. That is only 30% increase with that. Sell out one football game, which I know Strebel was having some fun with that. That'll have some, you know, I think that's okay. Sell out one home football game, which again, Strebel's going to have a field day with. And then one men's basketball game at 90% capacity. They're aiming for that to be Tennessee. Let's see. Department will use $1.7 million in reserve funds to meet budget. University will provide $3 million in support. And a lot of people were upset about that. But in other years, the athletics department has given them some money back to the university. So with everything that transpired here, I think that's something to, you know, people are going to latch on to and try to poke fun at. But if you dig through the weeds and everything, when, you know, they were having the press conference with the most profitable basketball program, a lot of that was getting kicked back to the university is my understanding. Also, I know some of the money I think is going to be going to redo the Keybert Center again. Heard said $20 billion total can be achieved with help from 2.5 million absorbery. Absorption of the Aston settlement and elimination of sports scholarship limits, another $2.5 million in savings. So from the top, you're looking to come up with $15 million. We still need a direction on the Title IX that will impact these decisions. Current thinking is damages will be distributed on percentage of revenue distribution, 75% football, 15% men's basketball, et cetera. ACC staff, presidents, and ADs have ongoing conversations, roster limits, especially in regards to football. Can't imagine there will be a lot of conversation around basketball. Assumes roster limits will be the same as current scholarship limits. Basketball and other sports could see changes. So that's from Eric Crawford as well. And he said, Heard updates proposal. I'm sorry. Let's see. Heard is now giving the AD report. Six former current U of L athletes in Eugene, Oregon's trying to make the Olympics. A number of swimming athletes, up in trial in Indy. So there you go from that. So we did a deeper dive into that. There were some ticket price increases a little bit, for that. 2024 was, season ticket for suites. Let's see. This is a lower bowl. I'm trying to read this. I'm doing the Lachlan McLean speed ready revenue impact. Adjusted prices generate 12% increase in budgeted season for ticket donation and revenue. So go to Eric Crawford. He did a deep dive on this. Nick and I talked about it a little bit, in the first hour. Here's what, yeah, that's what they had to say with that. All right, without further ado, it's your least favorite segment. It's our favorite segment. It is What Else Is Going On to close out the show right here on ESPN 680, 105.7, and the ESPN Louisville app.
And now it's time for What Else Is Going On with Nick Curran and Nick Evans.
And Phil Baker in. Nick Valvano, or Nick Curran, I should say, not Phil, and James Black producing today's event. All right, tons of things to get into. NBA draft coming up on ESPN, ESPN Radio. Listen here on ESPN Louisville coming up on Thursday. But speaking of an ESPN talent, this is interesting to me. Stephen A. Smith wants to be the highest paid, ESPN's highest paid talent, and he wants to talk about the NFL more. Sources tell Front Office Sports that the green light for more NFL coverage is key to contract negotiations with ESPN. That is coming from Front Office Sports and Stephen A. Smith negotiations. Let's see. Smith's agent at WME and ESPN Brass have begun. Author John Miller said on the SI Media podcast last week that ESPN has been known to throw access to other sports as a goodie for performance. Back in 2016, for example, NFL insider Adam Schefter was allowed to cross over into NBA coverage. As the face of and voice of ESPN, Smith has made it crystal clear that he wants to be the highest paid talent at the network. His current deal expires in July 2025, and he's the lead face and voice of ESPN. The 56-year-old host the first day could command as much as a $20 million salary. Troy Aikman is number one at $18 million. If Smith doesn't get it, he could strike out on his own and do a YouTube podcast show, and also has been apparently, you know, in talks possibly to take over for Jimmy Kimmel. So there is that outspoken. He grew up idolizing Howard Cosell in the streets of New York City, has publicly talked about expanding across outside of his home base of First Take in the NBA Countdown coverage is the highest, most popular sport. Look, it's fascinating to me for a couple things, because as the talent, you see these things with Charles Barkley and what's happening with Turner and just being outspoken about how he's not been happy with the NBA rights. You've seen this with Pat McAfee calling out his bosses. You're seeing this with Stephen A. Smith, maybe not as in a more combative nature, but also having this discussion big picture of what he wants, commanding what he wants, leaking what he wants. And that is wild to be at a day and age in which, I understand the machine in order to keep everything going, and especially with the NFL and NBA, that's where they've made their bed, and you know, to a certain extent, a little bit of the SEC in college. They have made it with the SEC and NHL, but the programming standpoint of what was conveyed to me, well, we had Drew always talks about one of the smartest people in sports, Scott Masteller, who's basically was one of the individuals that hired Colin Cowherd. He now works in Baltimore at their sports radio news station there with the flagship for the Ravens. It's fascinating to me because these individuals are, it's part of the male soap opera that can help bridge the games and the commentary throughout the week to get excitement and reaction to the following week, recapping games. And that's all well and good on, you know, the Monday and Tuesday of the week, but by Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're previewing the upcoming game. And that's kind of the extension there. Now, Stephen A. Smith, everybody can have an opinion, like make no mistake about it. Like everybody could have an opinion, but Stephen A. Smith's gift, even though I know a lot of people get turned off by the yelling and screaming, he has a unique ability to move the needle. And when you can do that, that matters. That matters a lot. All right. But that's something to monitor with that. Also, there's a new person in the Charlie Weiss School of Hard Knocks. Monty Williams is signed the NBA's biggest contract for a coach, led the Pistons to one of the worst seasons in league history and got fired. Now they'll make $65 million. Not the coach in Detroit. That is crazy to me, considering I know by, I was going to say, he finished with 17 and 65. And also, I mean, he's gotten paid from the Suns as well. I mean, God, what a gig. And you know what? Probably the crazy thing is he will probably turn up somewhere as well, try to, just be an assistant somewhere, because these guys are wired a little bit differently when it comes to that. Also, cool moment down in Alabama for the Negro League games. Century go over to one of the Rick Wood Field, set the host that, I mean, I encourage everybody to go back and listen to some of the things that, transpired in that game on Fox. And that was just a really, really cool game, and just, sad news following, and heavy hearts following the death of one of the all-time greats, Willie Mays. Some of the stuff, they went to the black and white photos and video on Fox, so a cool broadcast there. I think last week I brought this up, and it, just how, like, I didn't know. Like, I thought it was a cool thing that the College World Series would host the Royals there, and I think Nick and Zachy C looked it up, and it was like 5 or 6 years ago, which is wild to me for that, because it seems like such a unique thing, like, to have games like this, whether it be in the cornfields for the set of Field of Dreams and having some fun there, and then also the Little League World Series. I think that's also a cool shtick that they do, and then having the ability to go to these other places, I think, is good for the sport, especially when there's so many games. I mean, like, doing things like this is a layup. They should definitely take it and run with that. Also, J.J. Redick hired by the Los Angeles Lakers. Shams must be taking a victory lap around that. So for the last 5 years, for J.J. Redick, played for the New Orleans Pelicans, launched a media company, signed with the Mavs, launched a podcast, signed with ESPN, moved to ESPN's number two broadcast team, moved to ESPN's number one broadcast team, and then launched a podcast with LeBron. Now, a Lakers head coach. So there you go with that, especially following the Danny Hurley saga with that. Now, look, reportedly offered a four-year deal. I know a lot of people have strong opinions about the path for him to get there, and there's other people that, that quite frankly should have been given maybe other abilities for this, but they're banking on him, and J.J. Redick, that is, to be more of like the Pat Riley mold, and I get that, but people have to understand, like, J.J. Redick and LeBron James and all these, it's not the day and age of trying to get guys to learn their X's and O's. Their job, you're more of a baseball manager in this, especially in the NBA. Like in college, I'm a firm believer. Not saying the guys don't run set plays in the NBA. If you watch an NBA game, it's a lot more ISO and freedom. But I think J.J. Redick would probably connect with them, and especially you see what happens with Joe Mazzulla being a 35-year-old coach. They're trying to go trend younger. At some point, the younger guys got to step up, and you know they got to be the next one up. So that's unfortunately for those that aren't happy with that, deal with it, because that is kind of the nature of the beast in this day and age. With that fun show right here on your sports station, reminder, we got you covered. Reds, Red Sox coming up a little bit after us. They got you covered over on ESPN 680. I'm sorry, over on 93.9 for the College World Series. And don't forget heading over for Sunday Night Baseball for the Cubs and Mets. The Grossmans. Jack Grossman versus Bob Valvano and Nick Valvano. That's what will happen. Coming up here a little bit later tonight. For Nick and James Black producing today's efforts, I am Phil Baker. A happy birthday to, oh my goodness, TRL's own Carson Daly. He's 50. We'll talk to you next week.